Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Hello, Sacred Rebels, and welcome. I'm Victoria Haffer, the host of Inspired Rebel Radio, a podcast where you get inspired to step outside the box, embrace your fears, and live your life as if the gate was left wide open. I am so excited to have a special guest today on the show, a business and branding coach and the host of Business Roundtable, a true Sacred Rebel himself, Joe Hosempa. Joe is the president of Round 2 LLC, a business that focuses on delivering your business message and building valuable assets that better define the way your business is positioned in the marketplace. Joe is responsible for promoting your company brand and helping your company grow through branding, advertising, and creative platforms. Joe hosts a local radio show on the Providence Metro on WPRB called the Business Roundtable, a weekly radio program highlighting business accomplishments, affairs, and resources offered to the entrepreneur and all of us. Joe has 20 years of experience in marketing, sales, and holds a bachelor's degree in economics and political science from Rhode Island College. In his spare time, he enjoys golf, mountain biking, guitar, road trips to Hilton Head so he can get his golf on in the winter and drink his wine. Joe Hosempa, everyone. Hey, Joe, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Fabulous. Even better since, you know, you're on the show with me today. I'm so excited.
I know when we booked this, it was 6 weeks ago, and I remember saying, it's got to go that far out, and then here we are already.
Exactly.
Week before Thanksgiving. It's a week before Thanksgiving.
Right on, brother. Thanks for being here. So let's start with a little bit telling us about your journey as a biz and branding coach and how you knew that, you know, working in this field was your life purpose. And do you know, when you were like a little boy, you were like, when I grow up, I want to be this, or, you know, tell us a little bit about your journey.
That's a good question. When I was a little boy, I wanted to become a teacher. I always wanted to become a teacher, and, you know, I wanted to do that. And then when I had my first student teaching job as a freshman in college, I said, nope, that's not happening ever. Right.
Tell us more. Like, what was it about teaching that made you go, like, absolutely no freaking way? What happened?
Well, I don't know. I just, instead of dealing with your own problems, you kind of got to deal with the classroom authority, and then you got to, I don't know. It just nothing really rubbed me the wrong way. It just, you know, it takes a very special person to become a teacher. So if you ever looked at my yearbook, it was always teacher, teacher, teacher. And then, like I said, I was a freshman in college, which is what I think college is all about. It kind of, you go through that exploratory phase,
sure,
which I think is important. And when I did that, I was like, no, that's not going to happen. It's not like anything negative happened or anything like that. It was just one of those things where I said, it's not for me.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, you know, and so then what happened?
Well, fast forward, I graduated college. I worked for Xerox Corporation. So this was in the mid to late 90s when it was a privilege and an honor to work for a Fortune 50 company. They were well past the Fortune 500 at the time. And they really taught me a bunch of business acumen and really taught me a bunch of business throughput. Business systems. At the time, they had a curriculum put in place where you can actually, you know, learn about all this stuff and learn about business branding. Because if you do a little history and research, Xerox also owned the Apollo Research Learning Center, which they created the patent for Windows, and they didn't think it would work, and they sold the patent over to Bill Gates. True story.
Oh, wow. Who's kicking themselves now, right? So what are some of the things that you learned? What are some of the things you learned from Xerox? You were saying, like, you learned, like, some really important things. What would be some of the top things that you could say you learned from them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Xerox has always thought that you know, at the time where they were, they always talk about pride, okay? So everything's pride, 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 pride. You know, all the products are made, all the products are developed at this place. This is our company. This is how you dress for the company. This is how you work for the company. This is how you represent for the company, all mm-hmm. the way through all corporate. So everyone in corporate, you know, had to follow this structure and this business model. And it's all about pride. If you weren't happy to be there, you never made it through their system, okay? Mm-hmm. And, boy, has times have changed because mm-hmm. customer service pretty much anywhere is, you know, it's pretty hard to come by, within my opinion, or at least here in the Northeast. You know, so they always – and then – you know, it's always, you know, it was always a client-focused selling. So, in other words, you know, don't go out there and just pitch price, because no matter what you did, Xerox was always 10 to 15 to 18% higher than any of the other solutions. Now, there are reasons why that they were, but, you know, we're really not going to get into them for the sake of this discussion. But, you know, so it teaches you to really focus on solving problems, then you get the deal. So that's pretty much, if I could sum it up right there, solve mm-hmm. the customer's problem, yeah. you get the deal.
So basically, at that age, at that early stage, you were like a coach then anyways, right? Because that's what coaches do, right? We want to find out what is your most, you know, challenge, you know, greatest challenge, suffer, what keeps you up at night, right? So that's what we do.
Right.
We help to solve problems as coaches. So it's so I guess that's how you started, you know, getting your early experience, right, as a coach.
Right, absolutely. And then just before Xerox, I learned a lot about time management. I had an internship with a local United States senator over mm-hmm. in college on the tail end of my college career, and I learned a lot about time management and stuff like that. So if you put those two business acumens together, you know. Number one, you're focused on time management. You got to make sure that what you do is going to be the best use of your time. Number two, client focused. You got to focus on the client. You know, a lot of people, you know, the customer is always right. You know, not for nothing, the customer is not always right. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes the customer may have false expectations. What happens mm-hmm. if the customer has false expectations? Or what happens if the customer can't even afford your product? It doesn't make them right. So you really got to focus on their solutions, you know.
Right.
And then you just got to be, you know, very happy at your position and have a lot of pride. And these three kind of takeaways from my Xerox experience is stuff I still use to this day.
Amazing. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So what are the greatest challenges that you see small businesses having and the common mistakes that they make, the entrepreneurs make, that create failure in the early stages of, you know, a startup business?
Are we talking me specifically or?
Well, I would say overall, like your clients as a coach, right? You're a business and branding coach. So what do you see out there with people? Because everybody, you know, entrepreneur, everybody's calling themselves an entrepreneur these days, right?
Sure.
Startup business,
yep.
doing that, asking for all kinds of money from people. And so what do you feel are the greatest challenges that small businesses or entrepreneurs have initially?
Startup capital.
Yeah.
Startup capital is always a challenge because it might not give them purchasing power to compete with the big dogs.
Mm-hmm.
However, you shouldn't be discouraged, because if you don't have an ego, and if you're good at negotiations, you can always ask first, you know. So, you know, ask one of your vendors to work with you, you know, put a creative plan together with capital that, you know, you might not be able to afford $10,000 in 30 days, but maybe you can do $5,000 in 60 days and then $5,000, you know, 60 days after that. They might work with you. They might be willing to work with you. So you gotta focus on that, number one. Number two, you definitely have to be true to your word. So in other words, you know, you don't try to outstretch yourself when it comes to that stuff. But, you know, everyone gets caught up in the mix, which leads me to number three, where, you know, they think that their product is better than what it is, and they can always go find money around the corner. And once you start doing that, trying to, you know, do that, I know one of the problems we had with our business is we had three different entities at the time. Now, fast forward, this was 2004 till 2012. So we had a print division where we actually did the physical printing for branding. We had a web division where we actually designed the actual websites for branding. And then we also had a media buying division, so we can actually do branding and advertising, either, you know, billboard, television, radio, local magazines, newspapers, whatever needs to be done. Now, at the time, copy, fax, print, scan was now coming to the office, and now all of the branding mechanisms were coming in through web. So, in other words, there are a ton of companies out there where their print never even matched their web. So that's where we focused on the branding. I mean, you know, the early 2000s, you had three different trifolds, a website. It didn't look like anything, you know, the because.
Right, so I remember the trifold days.
Oh, yeah, you know, and so what happened is, you know, what happens is since we had three different divisions, where one of the things that was always a challenge is we would use print to pay web or web to pay billboard, and so we never kept the account separate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was tough to kind of make a profit at some jobs because of project creep, especially on the website.
Mm. Yep.
You know, so in other words, with the project creep, you know, if you say, okay, we're going to charge you $5,000 for this website and it's going to be X amount of hours and it ends up taking more, your employees still need to be paid, and now you're getting into that. So then you take a little bit of the profit margins out of print, and once you start using money of what it's not supposed to be used for, which I think a lot of beginning businesses do, I mean, I can raise my hand right now and say that I'm guilty for that. You know, you can start to go down a path that can lead to a lot of complications.
So you have so much experience in this, the business and the branding stuff. Like, what are the big mistakes that people are making in the branding? First of all, I would have to say that they're not branding. I see so many businesses that I speak to. I'm also a business and branding coach for wellnesspreneurs, right? So people in the holistic health field, and, you know, asking someone what their mission is, their vision is for their company, you know, they can't even they don't even know. They're like, oh, we wrote it out, it was like 5 years ago, and I don't remember what it is. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, that
right.
needs to be your goal. You know, you need to, like, eat, breathe, and, you know, whatever, sleep with that, right? Like, with your vision
right.
statement. Like, that's what drives your business. So what are some of the other things that you see with people that, you know, that, where the branding actually fails with business, with their businesses?
Sure. I think the branding, the brand, I don't know. I kind of go through life, me personally, I kind of go through life where, like, life's a parallel road, you know what I mean? So you got one side of the road, and then you got the other side of the road, and it's windy, and it goes up and down, and I hope you have a visual, right? I'm trying to articulate this,
yeah,
right? Right? So I always believe that, like, with different stories, obviously, you know, I treat each side of the road as two sides of the coin or two sides of the story, right? So what happens is with business branding, so let's say on one side of the street is the employee's perception of the brand. And then on the other side of the street is how the market perceives the brand or how the consumers perceive the brand. You know, number one failure or number one trouble is if your employees don't know the brand, that's like you were saying when you started the question. If your employees don't know the brand, it's up for a business owner to teach them the brand and show them how that they want to be positioned in the marketplace. But sometimes the owner, you know, say an owner opens up a restaurant And, you know, this happens to me all the time. Okay, I want to go on radio, or I want to go on television, or I want to go on a newspaper. Okay, great. What's your target audience? Well, anybody who eats.
Right. Exactly.
I'm like, okay, can we be a little, more specific?
No, yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Like the experience. Like,
anybody,
what experience are we selling here, right?
Right. Sure, I can be specific. Anybody that likes tacos. Okay, now we're getting place. Right? We're going somewhere, right? We're gonna, right?
Tacos. Where's the restaurant?
Right. So we have to define that. And so, on one side of the street, the business owner and the employees have to define that.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, the consumers who are on the other side of the street, the consumers might not perceive the brand to be as best it is. And the best example of this, is, which we all know, and so all of you listeners have either seen or heard of the concept of Groupon. Or they've seen or heard of the concept of radio stations or television stations giving a half off of a gift certificate for a specific restaurant. So here's what happens. So the sales rep goes there, bangs on the door, pitches the program. Restaurant finally says yes after 6 months. They do the promo. They do that there, or Groupon finally puts it on their website. And then all of a sudden, nobody buys the gift certificates. That's a problem.
Uh-oh, wah, wah, wah.
Right, right. Because now nobody perceives the value even at half price. And so at that point, it's a real tough lesson learned. And I've seen that happen here in the Providence Metro time and time again.
Wait, so how did that happen?
Okay,
So
let's say a restaurant decides to, for their marketing program, they want to use a Groupon. In other words, they buy a $50 gift certificate for $25,
mm-hmm.
okay, for a specific restaurant. If Groupon can't sell these, that means that there's no value. There's no consumer value. Consumers don't even want that product at half price.
Right.
That's a tough lesson to learn.
So are you saying that they didn't do their branding properly. They didn't do their marketing or advertising properly because people are just like, I don't even want to buy this for half price. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. That or there's no demand for their product, which is the other side of the street. So you know, if there's no demand for your product, you got to really try to create that demand for sure.
Right. And so how do you? So give us some tips on how you create a demand for your business.
Okay, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Have a pen or a pencil?
I got a pen. It's purple.
Okay. Everything you're about to hear is is not top secret, but it is very important, and this can probably last you as well as some of your listeners who are entrepreneurs and trying to get out there or thinking, you know, if you're on the edge of starting a business, I say you do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is very important when you're dealing with branding, okay? Number one, all you got to do is define four things, okay? Number one is reach. Number two is consistency. Number three is frequency. And number four is being creative. So do you want me to repeat that for the sake of people who are listening to the podcast?
Why don't you just go through each one? No, I got it.
Okay.
Reach, consistency, frequency, and being creative. So now just talk a little bit about each one.
Yeah, absolutely. Reach, which we just touched upon a couple minutes ago, define your audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to reach females 35, 64, or we're a product for men 25, 35. You have to define who is your target audience.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it? What product are you selling? Who is your target audience?
And wait, just stop there for a second, because that's always been such a huge challenge for me. In doing my own branding for myself with Live a Sacred Rebel Life, you know, I went through a whole long process about it because, like you said before, you know, who wants to live a sacred rebel life? Fierce, adventurous, and free, right? So it's like not everyone wants to do that. And so how do you do the research? Like, what steps do we need to take to figure out who our target audience is? Like, I can make shit up all day long, right? And I can right? I can just make it up and be like, you know, definitely the 30 to 45 year olds that drive Toyotas and, you know, whatever.
Gotcha.
So how do you figure out if you're accurate, I guess, is my question.
Okay, Great question, because number one, you can't absolutely positively make it up. I deal with people who make it up or don't even know how it's perceived in the marketplace all the time. So that's a great question. Okay, yeah. I like to accomplish that by doing two things. First and foremost, check your QuickBooks or whatever software you use. Who's giving you dollars? Who is giving you dollars? Because because ultimately, you know, you may say, you know, Joe, I'm looking for someone who wants to live a sacred rebel life. I'm looking for, you know, specifically females, this age demographic. But guess what? If they're not giving you dollars, that may be a goal of yours. But who is giving you dollars? So once you answer that, either QuickBooks or software or all that stuff, okay? But number two, here's the great news, right? We live in a free country. You can have multiple target audiences. You can have, you know, if you're Coke or Pepsi, okay, and you're selling vitamin water versus soda, right? Same company, same mission. We want to make a quality product. Different target audience. Ones are on, you know, stair steppers and spandex and sweating their butts off, and the other ones, you know, over at a tailgate game while sitting by the bar with a rum and coke. I mean, you know, so the good news is you can have multiple target audiences.
Okay.
You just have to define, is this campaign that is this branding campaign that I'm spending money on or effort reach? Is it reaching my target? You can have multiple targets. In fact, you probably need multiple targets in this world, because this new economy is just—it's nothing that I've ever seen before, and it's just crazy. So you know, you can have multiple targets. Just make sure that campaign has a good reach that's targeted at what you're trying to accomplish.
Got it.
Moving
on
to frequency. Yeah, right, exactly. So you have to define reach, right? So you have to define reach. You can always switch reach. You can have 10,000 reaches if you want, but just make sure that if you have 10,000 reaches, you have 10,000 campaigns going on.
Yeah, okay.
Because if you have one campaign or five campaigns or 1,000 campaigns with 10,000 reaches, it's going to affect your frequency, your consistency, and your creative. All those things have to be in balance.
Okay.
Reach, frequency, consistency, and being creative all have to be in balance.
Got it.
It's kind of like, you know, if you do yoga. You can't do a position if you're not in balance.
Right, brother. Yep.
It is what it is. I mean, I golf, right? I golf. If I have too much wine or something else, I'm not in balance, right? So guess what? So the ball starts going right or left. Same thing. It's like these are basic rules that have been around forever. And the problem is people try to shortcut the system or shortcut their system, and it just becomes a huge challenge. You know, it doesn't have to be that difficult. A golf swing is not that difficult. Knees bent, butt out.
I'm just learning. Hey, I'm just
spine
learning.
Level.
Keep your eye on the ball, right? Keep your eye
if
on
you
the ball.
Keep it, if you keep your spine still, wow, the ball goes. The minute you peek first, like you just, because you get excited, this is where I fail on the golf course.
I get excited. I love to hear that crack of the ball, and then I just get
well,
listen,
see, where I get excited, you know, I'm about 120.
I'm going to tell the callers how to call in and talk to you right now. So, hey, guys, if you're listening and you want to call in live and speak to Joe, ask him a question or two about your business, the phone number is 646-716-7979. Awesome. All right, number two, consistency.
Consistency, right? Very important with consistency. Consistency costs money. To appear in a magazine or a radio show or a television show or do a podcast or whatever it is you need to do, even if you if your consistency methodology is going to, say, a local chamber meeting every month, so you go to 12 a year, right? You go to 12 a year, you go there, you shake hands, you pass out business cards, go to 12 a year. Don't go to 8 a year. Don't go to 11 a year. Because if you didn't go to 12 a year, you weren't consistent.
Got it.
I'm not saying go to a chamber meeting and all your problems are going to be solved. I'm not saying come on a radio show or a television show or a billboard. But if you're going to do it, do it. put it in your planner and do it, you know. I actually handle a bunch of ambassadors, right? I already gave them their schedule. This is ambassadors for a local chamber of commerce. I already gave them their schedule for 2017.
Nice.
They know, because I'm in charge of 11 people. I'm in charge of 11 people when I started with the group. Now I'm down to 8. I'm only in month 1. You know why? Because I gave them their schedule for 2017. I said, if we can't make these dates, I thank you for your help. This is a nonprofit organization, so I'm not going to get, you know, I'm not going to be a dictator here, but we need to be consistently at these events. And if we can't commit to them because, you know, you have life and family and stuff like that, if we can't commit to these, then I will find you another committee. And 3 people actually left.
Yeah.
They actually left.
Clean
and
house.
Again, you have to
be
consistent.
I love it. And then the reason for that is so that people get to know, like, and trust you, right? I mean, isn't that
absolutely.
It? So people are like, so you're not like a fly-by-night campaign, and they're like, wow, maybe they are here to stay, right?
Well,
so,
let me take it a step further, Victoria.
Sure.
Not only
sure.
will they like and trust you, they'll realize that you're authentic.
Mm.
You're the real deal. You're the real deal. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
So in other words, which is important, you know, if I was listening to this podcast right now and I just heard those words, chills would have went up my spine. Because that is the because that is the crux of the problem of people in business. That is the crux of the problem of business owners. That is the crux of the problem of consumers. That is the crux of the problem of definitely people you see in the media who want to run for a specific office. If they were authentic, okay, if you ever want to learn to be a tent or there, go down to D.C. and read all the words on the buildings that are still there for generations and generations.
Wow.
And it's like, they don't do that. So in other words, if you want to do something, do it. Don't do it half-assed. Don't do it to not be authentic. And so I think that if you're at every chamber meeting, using that example, or if you're doing your best to, you know, maintain a media campaign, just hang in there, okay? Maybe you say, okay, well, you know, $1,000 a month is too much for me to be on radio. Okay, great. Pick a once-a-week show and go on for $250 a week. Guess what? It's not I'm sorry. Scratch that. I'm running the numbers wrong, right? No, I'm doing the numbers wrong, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay.
Say you have $1,000 is too much, right, for every day of either television, radio, billboard, whatever. It doesn't matter, right? Go on a once a week there, because if you put a 52-week program together now it's going to be less than half the cost. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
So now, but guess what? Now you're on for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You're consistent. You're
right.
Consistent. You know what I mean? If you know. It's so consistency, very important. Very important. Again, has to be in balance with reach, frequency, consistency, and creative. We're saving the best for last. So now we're going to talk about frequency, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, it's okay with me.
Okay. Frequency is pretty quick, right? Frequency is pretty quick, right? Because it's how you turn up or down the actual tone of your call to action. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So in other words, so you want to tone it, you know, if you want to amp it up, amp it up. If you want to amp it down, amp it down. When people say, well, why wouldn't I go full throttle all the way? What happens if you have a busy season? The whole goal of any branding is to build top of mind awareness. You know, we can play, you know, top of mind awareness for advertising should be like name that tune for music. Right? So the minute someone hears a little bit of your jingle or sees an image of your business or sees any type of that stuff going on and they know it's your company, your frequency is dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then
Wait a minute. So frequency, you're talking about like vibration frequency, not like how many times.
Correct.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, get it. And I'm like the queen of, you know, laws of attraction, and I always talk about frequency and vibration. But I was thinking, Okay, good. Sorry, I just had a light bulb on that one.
No, that's okay. That's okay. That's awesome. I'm terrible at word economy. Even in my real life, personal life, business life, word economy is just not my thing. I don't know.
It's all right. You're doing great. It's awesome.
So frequency. So you got to turn it up, turn it down. Because, you know, if you're a digger who does excavation and there's 3 feet of snow here in the Northeast, you really don't need to boost up your frequency. Because you're not going to dig. You know what I mean? Because the ground's frozen. But you want to let people know that, hey, when this sun comes out and birds start chirping and leaves start blooming, ABC Excavation Company
is here for you.
You know
we
what
will
I mean? We're here
for you.
Because frequency needs to be at a level to where you build top-of-mind awareness.
Got it.
Top-of-mind awareness. It's all, you know what I mean?
I do.
Unfortunately, it does take customers and consumers 7 touches for them to do your call to action, which is tough because the 7 can't be the same 7, and the 7 can cost a lot of money to get to.
Yeah, I understand. I'm with you. I definitely understand
that.
You
know, so for example, if you go statistically proven, okay? I always like to use the old-fashioned way of just banging on the door or going to like a chamber meeting or a rotary meeting or something like that.
Yeah,
you know? So statistically proven, if you go for 7 months, you should get your first interview.
Got it.
7 consistent months with the right delivery of frequency at the right target audience. And we didn't even get to the fourth point, but statistically proven. But it has to be different. So it could happen in month 4. Why would it happen in month 4? Because someone told them about you. That's another reach and touch point. You follow me?
Yeah.
So statistically proven, if you want someone in business to look at your call, to look at your call to action, not perform your call to action, to look at your call to action, it takes 7 touches.
Wow. Okay. Good to know.
And by the way, I've been saying that since 2004. It's probably going up. Especially because that was when, you know, in 2003, you only had Facebook and social media. If you were, you know, when Facebook first started, you needed a college email. It wasn't what it was today, and social media definitely wasn't what it was today. And I'll tell you, social media put a lot of advertisers right on their heads, kind of scratching their heads, you know?
Sure. Yeah, what are your secrets around social media? Because, say, you know, it's definitely challenging now, you know, especially specifically like Facebook. I have 5,000 followers. A lot of people seem to really enjoy my posts. There's a lot of interaction. But like you were saying, the who's you know, who's paying me the Benjamins?
Yep. I've always...
That's the bottom line. And so, you know, what do you have for advice around social media content? Aside from Facebook ads, I get it that Facebook, you know, they're control freaks and they're certainly smart business people because, you know, they know that these people have big followings and then they started to control the reach, right? Of who's actually even seeing that post.
Okay. I will answer that question as long as we get to talk about my favorite part of branding, which is the last part, creative. We can save that for later.
Yeah, let's go there. We'll go go creative, and then we'll talk about Facebook after that.
Okay, but make sure because I have unique thoughts on both of them.
I'm here.
So in regards to creative, right? So again, just to repeat, if you fast forward the podcast or if you did anything, we're talking about the 4 keys of branding. Number 1 is reach. Number 2 is frequency. Number 3 is consistency. And then my favorite is creative. So in other words, you remember when I used the word balance?
Balance. I remember. I pictured you doing yoga, drinking wine. That's what
Yeah, yoga and wine. I'm in. Right. I'm your guy. Right. So basically, imbalance. So in other words, if you can't be frequent or consistent and you don't really know your reach or you just kind of like pray and spray when it comes to reach.
Yeah, pray and spray. Oh, my God, I love that. That is so good.
Well, this is going to blow your mind. So here we go. if you just pray and spray on reach, if you just amp up the frequency and consistency and you just go on for the sake of going on, then you really don't need a lot of creativity.
Hmm.
You ready for this?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Auto dealers. So in other words, all their commercials are not very creative. We all roll our eyes when we see them. or hear them on television or radio, or see them on the billboard with the big cheesy smiles and doing all of that. They just pray and spray because everybody drives a car. And they are always on at all different times. Sometimes their commercials go double back to back. They really annoy us. Here's the scary part. You ready for this?
Yeah.
In television and radio, auto dictates the market.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yes. Auto dictates the market. Auto,
well, there are some good marketing. Like, if you go on top of the line, like Mercedes and Volvo, they've got it down.
Okay. This is where two consumers will have two differences of opinion.
No, I mean, I'm telling you, like Matthew McConaughey, you know, he gets in his, I don't know, I think, although I guess it's not good branding because I don't even remember which car it is, right?
It's a Lincoln.
Lincoln, yeah. see, that's horrible branding. I just remembered the guy, the cute guy, and I don't even remember what
the car. Target audience, right? Cute guy, fast car. Cute girl, fast car. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Wait. I think you know what I drive. But like, guess what kind of car do you think I should drive from the brand?
From your brand?
That. Yeah.
From your brand?
Style. From what you know about me. What kind of car would you see me in? Yeah.
A candy apple red 5-speed something or other. So it definitely has to be a stick. It definitely has to be a stick. So if someone gives you a little attitude, you can kind of just scoot out of the way or spin your tires.
So what, like an Audi?
And it's definitely
got
to be candy apple red to fit your personality for sure.
All right, that's my next car. Okay.
So how about
you're
gonna
have to teach me how to drive a stick though.
No problem. I mean, Jettas are nice. Volkswagen.
Yeah, see,
nice.
I have a Passat. There you go. See, Volkswagen.
Audis are nice, and then, you know, only drive it for 6 months and then turn it in, because I haven't met anyone on the planet who was able to take their Audi over 68,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've always had, like, an issue of something or other. And this is a high-end car. It's not like you're buying a lower-end car, you know? So, anyway, getting back to the creative, I mean, creative is so important. It's so important, but it's really, in my opinion, really the crux of the branding. Because if you're on once a week, getting back to that example, when it comes to consistency, if you're on once a week, you best
be creative. Radio, TV, yep.
Yeah. You best be creative. Or even if you go to that same chamber meeting once a month, you best be creative. So in other words, using that example, they all have to be in balance, you know? And I love creativity, because I think creativity is where I can put together some pretty neat stuff based upon any budget, you know?
Yep.
Because the budget is the budget, you know? It costs X amount of dollars to clear the airwaves. All advertising is the same. It's all based upon cum. So, in other words, that's how many eyes or ears see the product.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you want to reach, you know, if you want to spend a nickel and reach freaking, you know, 30 people in this zip code or whatever via Facebook and do what you got to do, it's based upon cum. You know what I mean? If you want to email everyone in Facebook in the whole United States, it's going to be more than a nickel.
Right.
You know? So it's all based upon cum. So once you get your client to understand that and then understand the four keys of branding, now we can focus on the good part. That's the good news. So, okay, so say you take the client through, everything's in balance, things are working, that's great. The bad part is the creativity needs to start changing every frequency example per your call to action. So you really got to just go back. You just always go back to basics.
Yeah.
You know, it's always go back to basics. I'm sure that using the yoga example, you always go back to what's the main pose? Mountain pose? Stance? What's it called?
Yeah, mountain. I mean, it's a foundational pose for all standing and balancing poses. So it's, it's definitely one of them. Yeah, I would say.
So just like in branding, you got to reset. And then after you reset, even if you do the same campaign year after year after year, with slight improvements, you always got to be improving it.
So how long do you wait to decide if your marketing is working or not, right? Because it's like, I think the other mistake I see with my clients is, before they're my clients, I should say, not when they're my clients, because clearly they wouldn't do it with me, but is they do like something for a month, and then they're like, that didn't work, right? And then they go on to something else. So it's like, what is your timeline for sticking with something, you know, within the branding world to say, is this working, is this not working? When should you start to be looking at like tweaking it?
Right. Great, great question. I avoid that topic altogether.
You better answer that question.
Excuse me? What?
I said you better answer that question.
If I have a client who's going down that path, right? So say you know, we're Joe, how long do I wait? What do I do? Blah, blah, blah. I said, listen, first and foremost, no matter what we do, we come up with the best campaign ever. The next one's going to be a work in progress. Sometimes we get lucky and everything's in balance. Sometimes it's a struggle. And you know why it's a struggle?
Why?
Because the category of what the business is in is really not that exciting. You know what I mean? If you're out there and you're selling wine or golf or yoga or something that someone's into, it's very different than if you're selling carpet cleaning services or flood services or disaster restoration. You know, having a dog float on a newspaper or on a commercial is not very creative in disaster restoration, because the dog floating and swimming in the house that's flooded is funny. When your house is flooded, that's not funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's conflicting messages in there from the viewer. So I always say to the client, to my clients, like, listen, if you're going to do this for a month, it might not be worth your time. The only way it's going to work is if you're doing an event that requires television, radio, and billboard, that your call to action is for a specific event on a specific day. So in other words, come to this concert on the 15th, you advertise it for, you know, 6 weeks in advance or a month in advance. It's the concert has a timeline, advertising life has a shelf life. That you can do is fine, because your call to action is very specific. However, throwing a URL on a billboard doesn't sell a concert unless there's a big tie-in. Who's the headliner? You know what I mean? So you gotta kind of check that and put that in balance. So those types of campaigns work. But I always say to a customer, you gotta go with your threshold. We're gonna have to stay consistent. We're gonna have to stay frequent, right? We gotta adjust our frequency. You gotta stay consistent. You gotta make sure we define your reach. We gotta make sure that you're creative. What are you comfortable with? And then they say, well, I never thought about that way. Or, well, I can spend $12,000 a year. Or I can't spend $12,000 a year. Okay, what are you comfortable with? Let's define your reach. Put you on the right with something that you're comfortable with. And let's get that to work first. Because if we can't get that to work first, we have no basis of doing business. And I can't solve your problems. I can't bring people into your doors.
Right.
If we do not work together. And then, you know, and sometimes, you know, a bunch of people, sometimes they think I'm full of BS or whatever, which is fine. You know what I mean? Which is fine. They're starting to listen to me more now that the grays are starting to come in now. Because when I was 20 and I told them this, they looked at me like I had snakes swollen out of my head. You know?
Right.
So they're starting to listen to me now.
Yeah,
but again,
let's give the call, the phone number out again, just in case anyone's listening and they want to call in, ask Joe a question or two. Again, the phone number is 646-716-7979. We'd love to hear from you. So Joe, let's talk. Time flies when you're having fun. You're just too fun. We're going to have you on the show again real soon. But
I would love to come back. It would be awesome.
He's coming back, everybody. So Facebook, if you could just spend a few minutes on, you know, some of your, giving it some wisdom around what the heck to do with this beast we know is Facebook, or, you know, even Instagram. I know it's a little different though with Instagram, so.
Okay. For all the listeners out there and all the small businesses out there, I think you should sit down for this, because this is going to hurt. This is really going to hurt, right? If your business relies on Facebook and or Instagram or LinkedIn or Pinterest or whatever's out there, solely relies on that, and that's your marketing strategy, you're in trouble, because let's go back to basics, okay? Facebook is a publicly traded company, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Who are they in it for? Facebook.
They
are in it for Facebook. Facebook's in it for Facebook. You think Facebook cares about your – as a matter of fact, true story, today I tried to boost a campaign for a client. Now, I use Facebook as a tool, but if you solely rely on social media for your marketing, you are going to be disappointed. So for a client today, Facebook rejected an ad because it had too many text on it.
It's very, very. They just really want you to do like a picture with a couple of words, and I just don't even understand why they care as long as you're paying them the money, and it's super frustrating. Like,
because you know why? You know why? You know why? You know? You know? This is my opinion, right? This is my opinion. They want your money,
yeah.
But they don't want it to work for you, because it doesn't follow anything. Like, it has to be a couple of words. I mean, you're better off taking the $20 and giving it to charity. Take the $20 and give it to a charity. At least you get the tax write-off.
I know a lot of coaches online that work really well with Facebook. So I hear what you're saying as far as you're talking more like local businesses as opposed to.
I'm talking more like local businesses, yeah. I don't really deal so much within the home-based business sphere.
Okay.
You know what I
right.
mean? Like sure. I really don't. I think it just has to do with maybe some of the potential marketing dollars, or some of the philosophies are differently are different, you know.
Okay.
But in regards to doing, you know, if like you said, you know, I was trying to do an open house flyer which had kids running around. It was for a private school which had kids running around inviting people to the open house on November 20th. And Facebook rejected it.
Yeah.
You know, and so now I have to call Facebook, find out why, because my client wants it on there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then we're going to have to redesign something.
Well, good luck.
Quick,
when you get the phone number to Facebook, give me that number, because, you know, there's a hidden email that you might be able to do something, and then maybe they'll get back to you in like a week. But basically, you have to just keep taking words off. There's actually a Facebook editor, you know, inside
right.
there, that if you do the flyer in there, it will actually tell you when it's appropriate and when, you know, if there's too many words or not. You know,
right.
Like
but
away.
One of the most important things, I mean, I don't want to go down an advertising path there,
right.
but what I don't like about social media is I can't seem to articulate a call to action. Where is the call to action? This is for business-to-business stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the call to action? If they like it, are they buying it from you? You know what I mean?
Well,
if they like your
there's
product.
Your link. I mean, I do it all the time. You know, I have a workshop coming up with another facilitator, and, you know, a six-week health and happiness mastery program in Rhode Island. And so we put the Bitly link in there right to payment. So there's our call to action.
Are they buying? Are they buying?
Some people are.
good. That's good. You know,
not as many as
good.
I'd like, but you know.
I bet you have more likes than buys.
Exactly. That's and totally. I agree with that.
I get paid on buys. You know what I mean? If we're trying to sell, mm-hmm. if we're trying to sell a product, I get paid on my clients. Getting the buy, definitely not
mm-hmm.
not the likes, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I just, that's pretty much Facebook. I honestly, where I was gravely mistaken back in 2004, when Facebook kind of hit and clients were starting to ask me about what they should do and all that stuff, I thought it'd be a 5-year phase and we'd be done. I was way off,
mm-hmm.
you know, and at the time, 5 years ago, that put me at 37. So I was pretty young, I thought. I'm like, this whole Facebook thing is going to be like a mice. This is going to blow off, and we're all going to get back to real emails, and we're all going to get back to real calling each other and shaking hands.
And looking
people in the eye and being authentic. No, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong.
Right.
I was way off on that one.
That's funny.
Yeah,
wow.
It's tough to get out there and do business, I'll tell you that, you know.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, so what words of advice do you have aside from all the amazing wisdom you've shared so far, but words of advice to give to the new entrepreneur or the new small business that they're just coming into a market now, you know, what would you give for advice?
Be authentic. No one else is. Or be authentic. At least 88% of the population is not. So be authentic and be inspired. What drives you? I could look you in the eye and look every one of your listeners in the eye if we're all in a room, and I can tell you exactly what inspires me every day when I work.
What does?
It's the creativity part. Mm. When I fill a room for an event for my client, or I designed a website for a client and billed them $42,000 and they made $1.4 million off a $42,000 website off a credit, that's exciting.
Yeah, that is amazing.
That makes me say, you know, wow, I'm driving down the street and I see a billboard, or I'm listening to a radio station or watching TV, and I'm like, we worked hard for that. My team of people who I outsource stuff to, my customer, more importantly, my customer and my company worked hard for that. And that is now out there in the marketplace, and that's what drives me. It's not so much the money. I mean, the money is pretty basic. You make 15% on television, 15% on radio, 27% on print. Tell me they're not struggling, right?
Yeah.
Tell me they're not struggling.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's, you know, do we even spend money on that anymore? I mean, I know in my field, health and wellness, there's some really big magazines out there like Natural Awakenings and Spirit of Change that are the primo free magazines. So, I think that those work for people. People look through those. But what are your thoughts on print these days, you know, and spending money on print?
Well, my thoughts on print is I don't think it's ever going away.
Mm.
Okay. I think that in the local stuff, they've seen a rise this year, but I don't think that they've seen a rise and they think that they know where their rise is coming from. And what I mean by that is most businesses are spending less and less money on media because it's fragmented. You know, so in other words, if they spend $10,000 a year on television, now it's 8 and 2 is on Facebook or vice versa. So what I think they're doing is, if they did nothing in 2016, they know they have to advertise somewhere. They got to do something. What are they going to choose? They might choose the cheaper of the solutions, which would be a local print magazine or a local newspaper or a Facebook social media thing to the big three.
Do people read newspapers anymore?
I know there's an age demographic that still reads newspapers. So again, if you're selling ties
right
in downtown Main Street to 55-year-old men, you're not advertising on Facebook.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, seriously. So again, it gets back to the four keys of branding. There is a purpose and a place for it in the marketplace. The good news is there's a purpose and a place for everybody here in the marketplace, just like there's a purpose and a place for everybody here in this world when it comes to either different religions or different beliefs or different economic backgrounds or spirituality or race or anything. There's room for everyone, okay? It just has to be in sync. And then more importantly, it just has to be in sync. your product has to be defined.
Mm.
And if you don't do it, then you're going to be selling those ties to a filing's basement somewhere, if that's still around, and you're gonna sell them for pennies on the dollar and take a loss.
Oh, that's funny. So last question I have for you. How do you strategize and organize your day so that you position yourself to be as productive as possible? You know, entrepreneurs sometimes you work 18 hours a day, right? So what do you make sure that you get in for sure? Like, you talk about balance. Let's go back to the balance, you know, thing so that you don't burn yourself out.
Right. Well, I have a CRM in my work. I've always worked with one. That's one of the things that Xerox has taught me. It's like a customer relationship management software.
Yep.
So I'm a small advertising agency. I use customer relation management software. So in other words, I could log on and tell you at any given time when an email, a phone call, a voicemail, a letter, an invoice went out for every one of my customers.
Wow, that's awesome. So what's your favorite, what software do you use personally?
I use Capsule CRM. It's a company that's out of the UK.
Okay. Why is it better than any other one out there?
Keep in mind, at a young age, I've learned this business acumen, throughput, secure your dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Xerox had their own called Assist, which stands for Automated Sales Support Tool. Then it turned into like the Salesforce.coms and all that stuff. I did my research. What I like about this is for your first 250 clients, they let you use it for free.
Nice.
And then guess what? It connects to your Android. It connects to your iPhone. If you're one of those people like me, I have a Galaxy tablet. I have an iPhone. I have a Chromebook. I'm all over the map when it comes to clouds and drives. And, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right?
You're up in the clouds, Joe.
Right. I'm in the clouds. Right. But no, so what I like about it is it allows you to use it and allows you to say, you know something? Instead of kicking in, it's only $12 a month for 5,000 contacts.
Nice.
So instead of kicking in your $12, you get to use it. And you get to use it, number one, to see if it's right for you. But number two, see if you're consistent about it.
Yeah.
And then guess what? It's only going to cost you $12 a month. And if you can't afford $12 a month to develop yourself and or your business, then you shouldn't be in business.
Yeah, you're in trouble, right? So
you're in trouble.
And
let me tell you something. So to answer your question, how I plan my day, some of it's luck. I'm not going to lie, right? I don't want you to think like I'm this, you know, okay, I got to get off the phone. It's 5 or 3, you know, the interview's over, you know. No, some of it's luck, but it always results to, in the morning, resulting back to that CRM. Needs to be done today in my company. Who did I promise? A phone call, an invoice, an email, whatever. Because it makes me be true to my word as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, because it's funny, because most of my comments are like, man, you always stay on me. Like, you know, and believe me, I go after my target. I have customers who I still can't crack for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I now golf with them, know their wives, know their families, seen their kids graduate college already, and they still haven't gave me a nickel. Technically, I lost money on them, but now it's sport. You know what I mean? It's sport. So if I'm driving down, I'm like, I got to stop by and bang on a door and say, hi, I haven't seen him in a month.
Oh, my God. Joe, hey, listen, we're running out of time, but how can people get in touch with you? Tell them.
Absolutely. Well, I have a local radio show, so they can go to 790business.com. That's 790business.com. They can click on shows and find me there. And then it'll have my email and Facebook page and all that stuff. But I am available on Facebook and Instagram. The handle is at Joe, J-O-E, Hozempa. So it's J-O-E, H-O-Z-E-M-P-A, which is my last name.
You are so awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today. And we hope to have you on again real soon. For our listeners, a few amazing events coming up to be put in the calendar for our local New Englanders. The Health Expo at the Warwick Mall on Saturday, January 14th, 2017, and the Wellness Expo on Sunday, April 2nd at the Crown Plaza in Rhode Island. We are currently taking applications for exhibitors. and presenters. Email me for more information at transform@victoriahaffer.com. Once again, I'm your host, Victoria Haffer. You can reach me at victoriahaffer.com. Thank you for joining us on Inspired Rebel Radio, your place to be inspired to step outside the box, embrace your fears, and live your life as if the gate was left wide open. Live a sacred rebel life, fierce, adventurous, and free.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.